Dating after divorce, I think, has a unique advantage as a population in terms of being able to be more clear and more articulate, especially if you've gone to your own individual therapy post-divorce or like pre and then post-divorce. It's not that you don't want any of the first qualities of your first marriage, but sitting and asking yourself, what did I like? What were some of the most positive things? Where was I the most version of myself?
Hey, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. My name is Rob Roseman. On this show, we talk about everything divorce, whether you're thinking about divorce, going through it, or figuring out life after. Divorce, co-parenting, dating. We cover it all and break it into short clips so it's easy for you to find and learn from. If you want more help, head on over to WTFdivorce.com. Thanks for listening. On to today's show. What are some other examples or questions that you think people should bring up, and how early should they do it when they are dating after divorce?
So dating after divorce, I think, has a unique advantage as a population in terms of being able to be more clear and more articulate, especially if you've gone to your own individual therapy post-divorce or like pre and then post-divorce. Being able to not, it's not that you don't want any of the first qualities of your first marriage, but what, sitting and asking yourself, what did I like? What were some of the most positive things? Where was I the most version of myself? Is it when we were able to travel? Okay, travel's important to me. Is it when we were able to spend time at opposite family's house? Okay, family visits are important. So get inquisitive with yourself as well. What did I really love about the relationship? And what were some things that if I knew them, I maybe would not choose it again? Doesn't mean I regret that I had it, but I wouldn't choose it again because I learned I can't deal with it. And there's always limitations that we have. So keeping those lists in mind and then knowing that you're talking to a real person so you can have the best laid plans and then pick, do we have the same core values? Are there future plans for children overlapping or not? That's a big one for dating after divorce, especially. If I currently have a family, is that going to be a deal breaker or not? Do not introduce the kids so soon, but introduce them verbally. I have a family. They are important to me. Dating is a pocket of my life until I find a partner, and then that will take up more of my time. Please know that it's not about this priority or that priority. My kids are my priority, and then my romantic life. It's just a little lopsided or a little backwards in society, like the normal template that most people work from if you're looking from like the traditional lens, and that's where a lot of the judgment and shame come from also. And then I think sometimes secretly, if people are in an unhappy marriage, there's a little bit of envy masked as judgment that they're like, how could you? And they're like, no, really, how could you? Like, give me the roadmap because I want this. So when we're asking questions dating after divorce, same questions apply that we maybe wish we had asked our partner in the beginning. What's important to you? How do you like to spend your free time? Who do you want to be in 5 to 10 years? Is having a bigger family or an expanded family something that you would be open to? Maybe not even planning for, but if that happened, would you be okay with it? Do you have any big moves or anything coming up? Do you have any big career changes coming up? Being just generally inquisitive, like you'd be getting to know a friend, because ultimately that is the core foundation of a long-lasting relationship. And then we switch into the business partner with our relationship. We switch into the romantic part. We switch into this, but that deep companionship keeps the respect and loyalty at the forefront, regardless of all those role changes. Can you respect them and are they loyal? And can you ask yourself the same? And that would be the foundation I would work from. So pick someone who has values that you respect and that from the beginning, you're not immediately patronizing or judging. That's probably not a good footing to start out on.
Right. Well, I think, you know, from my experience, even just after divorce and dating can be very frustrating. And then, you know, you're hitting a lot of people that you're like, no. But when you do meet somebody in the beginning that, you know, there's chemistry, there's attraction, you're so relieved that sometimes you gloss over like these bigger questions.
Yes.
How early should you be asking these questions? And, you know, like how strict of a boundary do you recommend people hold? Because I think it is different dating after divorce. A lot of us have kids already. So maybe our motivations for getting married are a little different. But Right. Is that a first date thing? You know, save it for the second, third, or is it like asking a month and a half down the road when you're already sleeping together and your chemicals are already connected?
And please do that before the chemicals start getting really activated. I talked about this on another podcast as well. The timeline isn't necessarily as much chronological time. So in kind of Greek language, there's Kairos and Chronos. And Chronos is the chronological sense, the clock that we all operate on. Kairos is more of that felt sense of time. So they don't always match up. Because as we know, as we get older, we can know somebody for 6 months and be more vulnerable and know ourselves better and feel closer to them than somebody we've known 15 years. That's also why timelines dating after divorce don't make sense to the person that we're not married to anymore. And we feel frustrated and envious. How could they move on? How could they? The day the relationship ended might not be the day it ended internally. I could be over the marriage for 2 years. The day of divorce is finally free. So I have a 2-year leg up on my partner who I may have delivered the news to. So asking these questions, yes, first or second date, doing so casually. And then if you like the person and you want to keep seeing them more, and I've said before, dating is data collection, collect enough data points to then ask, okay, do I really want to include them in my, do I want to have an experiment with them? Do I want to date them and be committed for a certain period of time? And could I get along with them? And then maybe not, again, introducing the kids, especially if you have young kiddos with the attachment systems. When a person who is trying to be a partner is also a parent, it's something to be mindful of, that you're not only managing your attachment system, you're managing your child's attachment system. And they view the person you're partnering with, who especially is not their parent, much differently than you do. You could be over the moon about somebody and they're a very nice person. It's not that there's anything wrong with that person. Your child is viewing them as, that's not my dad. I don't want them to take time away from mommy, et cetera, whatever the parent set is. So being mindful that they might have a reaction, and it's not to take it personally. Your relationship with that person you're dating is separate from the family for the beginning, at least. So ask those questions in the beginning, first, second, third date, ideally before you're intimate with the person, because the chemicals and hormones change. And you don't want to add having to get over a divorce, a broken heart, take your kids to school, try and date again, go on. It's just to lessen your plate, try and keep it as organized as possible. And again, the best laid plans. People could call in and be like, this is the messiest thing I've done, but I made it through, and that works for you. Then maybe that advice is not for you. But I say early and often, show who you are early and often, and ask a lot of questions in a loving way, not in an interview interrogative way.
What's an example of that, in a loving way, not in an interview way? Because I think you get into that date and it's like,
they like have the notebook out there like, all right, so page 2, it's like, okay, don't do that. Please don't do that.
Right.
I would say a loving way is letting the conversation unfold naturally. And when they give you a window or an opportunity into a certain topic, they mention something about work, a promotion that a friend got, a trip that a friend went on or that they're excited about. Then asking them more like eagle eye view, oh, Italy, that sounds fun. Do you travel often? And then let the conversation flow. Oh, family, what if holidays, especially if you're dating around this time, very hot topic in either direction, contentious or joyful and excitement. What is that like for you? Do you usually switch holidays? What's your favorite holiday? Oh, I actually love 4th of July. Like, let the conversation unfold rather than it's like, all right, I don't want to waste my time. I'm divorced. And I get being guarded after being not in a committed relationship anymore. And the other person you're dating didn't just go through what you went through. So it's not theirs to solve. It's yours to manage with your therapist. You can have the guard internally and still be warm and loving externally. We're not having them let people in so soon. That's another topic to tackle. But I would say asking them loving, just calm, just like really inquisitive, like you're getting to know a new friend. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Really? Act interested. Don't project onto this new date all the stuff that your ex did that you didn't like, because that's not giving this new person a fair chance. And you don't know in however many ways they may be remarkably different from the relationship that you're not in anymore. Give that person a chance. I always say to date like you've never dated before. Date like it's a full blank slate, like you've never been burned, like you've never been hurt. It doesn't mean go into it all wide-eyed and too vulnerable where you put yourself up to get hurt. But don't be judgmental. Don't be, oh, they chew just like my ex-husband or ex-wife. Oh, this. You have to have done that so you don't get as triggered. They're going to happen. But if you're getting so triggered by everything, it might not be time for you to date.
Becoming a single mom meant getting creative with how I was going to take care of all the needs my family might have, including healthcare. I was uninformed of my options and just signed up for the first plan presented to me by an agent. I had a high monthly premium, and when I took my kids in for a wellness check, I was always hit with a huge bill that I was internally responsible for. I was disappointed in my options, to say the least. Until I found CrowdHealth. CrowdHealth is for moms just like me, those trying to provide the best care possible for their family on a tight budget. It's a community where single parents can support each other. It's redefining healthcare and giving control back to the people. The Crowd Health community is living the meaning of It Takes a Village.
To learn more, go to www.joincrowdhealth.com. That's www.joincrowdhealth.com.